Hallelujah. If you really mean what the song was saying, you ought to be making some noise in this house. For it's in him that we move. It is in him that we exist. It is in him we have our very being. Hallelujah. And he has kept us all year long. 188 days. Tell somebody we're still here. Hallelujah. Because he could have left us in yesterday, in the 187th day. But he brought us over to his 188th day. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful. For this is another day the Lord has made. And we should rejoice and be glad that we're part of the day. That's our assignment for today. Rejoicing. No matter what comes and goes, say I'm still here. And rejoice. Hallelujah. Because in this life, you're going to have fire. In this life, you're going to have tribulation. But in Christ, you can have peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we glorify God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for allowing us to come together one more time. Though we can only do it one time at a time and one day at a time. Hallelujah. So we're grateful to God for all he has done, is doing, going to do. Hallelujah. We're thanking him for allowing us to be in your midst. I want you to know that we're not here because we've been perfect. We're not here because we dotted every I and crossed every T. We're not here because we said the right things. I did the right thing. Because the truth be told, we have failed in every respect. We just can't do it right. But we thank God for grace and mercy that has brought us over. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we praise God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we praise God for our presider, Elders Bush. Our Holy Communion presenter, Elders Giss. And to all other preachers in the house, you just wave your hand and praise God for you. Hallelujah. And to every officer of the Church of the Living God that's in the house. If you have an elected position at your church, we praise God for you as well. Now, everybody else in the building must be lay people, so we praise God for you as well. And don't count your position as the least in the kingdom. Your position is just as important as mine. Hallelujah. Everybody got a space, place, and a spot in the body of Christ. And every part of our body is important. Hallelujah. That makes you important. Hallelujah. You are the worshipers. Hallelujah. If you were out there, there would be no need for these up here. Hallelujah. If you're not out there, I won't need to be standing here preaching to the pews. Hallelujah. So your position is very, very important. Tell your neighbor, and don't you forget it. Because we soon forget. Okay. Hallelujah. And it didn't just start with this generation. Since the beginning of time, we've been forgetting and have to be reminded over and over and over again. But we get upset with other people when we have to remind them of something. And forgetting that we need to be reminded ourselves. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What time is it? Good news time. God's word is good news. And it's good news in a bad news world. So we come to bring you some good news. Praise the Lord. Anybody need some good news? We should find our text today in the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, and beginning at verse 21, Matthew 18, verse 21. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand in the earth, spirit of man, mental man, physical man. We cast them all into your care that you may use us for your glory and your honor and praise. Send forth your holy anointed word through this vessel. Speak through my heart and mind that I may utter to your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Anoint me for this task. In Jesus' name. And let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Are we there? Matthew 18, 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. All right, now stop there. Okay. Tell the person sitting there, he said, take the limits off. Take the limits off. We are guilty because we all at some time or another have put limits on certain things. Limits are good for certain things, but when it comes to the kingdom of God, you need to remember to remove all limits. Why do you say that, Pastor, if you just said that it's good for some things? Jesus said, with man, some things are impossible. Right? But with God, all things, everything, are possible. So we have overdone our limitation. We apply it to everything. But God said, you can. And we say, I can't. How did you get from can to can't? It is in our reason and in our ability to handle certain things. And the main thing that causes us to place limits on God things is our attitude. Now, we've been dealing with attitudes in our Bible study for all the year. And I think we started in 18. And each day we get a new revelation. And we don't get the further we used to get, so we still hadn't finished the lesson yet. But some people would have said, that's too long. Dealing with one thing that long. I stand to tell you today that your attitude is the most important thing in your Christian walk. Your attitude. Your attitude can make you or break you. Your attitude can draw people to Christ or push them away. You are proclaiming and professing to have salvation. You are claiming and professing to have God Himself in you. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit also abiding there too. And my word reads that God is love. Mm-hmm. But we have problems loving everybody. That's a limit. We love our friends. But I heard Jesus say that what make you any better than anybody else. That's all you're doing, love them that love you. I need to see a difference. Jesus saying, I need you to get out of that limitation, step out of that box. And venture out into life and see what's there other than the four corners of the box you've been in. A wall that keep you from moving forward in the Lord. A wall that keeps you from doing what Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world. But we'll say, I can't go. I don't know what to do when I get there. Well, Matthew told you what to do. He said, be my witness. He didn't say witness about you. But be my witness. As you go, witness, tell somebody about my goodness. As you meant to tell somebody how the Lord woke you this morning. I know the alarm clock went off, but God had to wake me up. As you go, let somebody know that he's still healing. He's still delivering. He's still setting free. He's still giving, forgiving sin. He is still loving you in spite of your bad, nasty self. He's been loving you anyhow. Because there's somebody here today, and I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's somebody here today think that God don't love me sometimes. Because of circumstances. We done said God has stopped loving me, but God never stops loving. He doesn't know how to not love you because he loves. And love does what love does. It loves. Jesus said, you got to forgive, and let me get back to that attitude. Your attitude is your mind. And who controls that mind but you? Your attitude is how you respond to different things, different people, different situations. If you do not respond Christ-like, then you got the wrong attitude. Tell somebody to shift your attitude. You got to adjust it. We have come to Christ with the old nasty attitude we had and didn't cast it away. We've been trying to carry the attitude of Christ and dragging our old one along with it too. Good and evil can't coexist. You either be going to be evil or you're going to be good. The well doesn't put forth sweet water and bitter water at the same time. You may have diluted it, but it's still there. And most of us Christians have diluted our attitude. We accept some things and we shun others. Okay. Our attitude keeps us from forgiving one another. And when we do, as Jimmy would say, make like. We forgave. I said we make like we forgave because we'll bring it back up the next time. We got to rerun and give you day by day details of every bad thing you done to me or said against me. And now I don't even want to be around you. But said I forgave you. There's a lie that's forbidding you. Because when you forgive, it doesn't come up again. Not to hold it against you. But we say, I forgive you, but I'll never forget it. Now, perhaps you were saying that I won't forget it up here, but I ain't gonna hold it against you. And that what you should have been saying. But you didn't say it that way, so you didn't mean it that way. You said, I won't forget it. That means that I'm gonna remember it. And the next time you do something wrong, I'm gonna bring it back again. So you didn't cast it to the Lord. You stuck it in your purse. And it got lost in all the stuff you carry. But you knew it was there. And when something come up, we start hunting for it. But we got to adjust attitude and remove the limits from this. Jesus said that forgiving is important. If I were to put value on forgiveness, I would say it's one of the most important things that one can ever do if they want to go to heaven. Unforgiveness can keep you out of the kingdom. No matter how holy you think you're living, if you got any teeny weeny links, they busy bar. I expect unforgiveness will keep you out of heaven. Tell your neighbor, clean it up. Yeah, and let it go. What good is it doing you? Feeling bad about somebody else that you can't do a thing about. What good is it? How much does it help you? If I would check your doctor bill and your medical records, I can see that your additions for medication has increased. That means your money has decreased. The doctor bill has gone up because you got to go to him more times. Instead of going 3 or 4 times a year or you're going now every month. And someone's going every 2 weeks. Yeah, but I refuse to forgive them. Because I think that I'm doing them a favor when I forgive them. That's a lie from Slewfoot. Lucifer. He got you thinking if you forgive him, you let him off the hook. The only one on the hook is you. The person you think you are holding back, they're going on and you are still back there. You done lost 10 years of your life that you could have been happy in. That you could be rejoicing in. And you just spent 10 years of your life holding stuff against somebody that don't even know what you're holding it for. Adjust those limitations. Because if you want to go to heaven, you got to forgive. Jesus said in the prayer, forgive us our debtors or trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. So that tells me my forgiveness is hinged on you. I got to forgive you first before I can be forgiven by the Father. Forgive them. Forgive me as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. And then he explained it, said, if you don't forgive, then my heavenly Father won't forgive you. So the very moment you stop forgiving somebody and held it, you got all those sins collected from that day up to 10 years down, and you think you're on the way to heaven. You're just doing it in vain. Don't let your living, your suffering, your dying be in vain. All because you want to hurt somebody because they hurt you. Well, they shouldn't have hurt you in the first place. You wouldn't put your feelings out there. You throw them out in the aisle, knowing people walking up and down the aisle. Ain't gonna get stepped on sooner or later. Okay. The word says, deny self. See, self keep you from doing a whole lot of things. Denying him and take up the cross. The cross signifies pain and agony. Somebody thought they'd pick up the cross and it's just glory all the time. But the pain comes with the cross. So they let you know that you can't have this life without somebody hurting you. But then James told you how to handle that. He said, count it all joy. See, that's the attitude adjustment you got to make. Our attitudes that hate them. Our attitudes that get them back. Our attitudes that knock them down. Our attitudes that cast them out. But the word says, rejoice! Count every bit of it as joy. Don't leave nothing out. Count it all. Anything left after all? Count everything negative in your life as joy. Adjust that attitude. I'm trying to help y'all so you can spend the rest of your days being joyful. Not in misery. You got enough of that with the pain of your body. Don't need to add no mental pain on top of it. Hallelujah. Count it all as joy. Well, I forgave him yesterday. And coming back today doing the same thing. I ain't going to forgive him this time. But the word says, forgive him anyhow. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times? See, we want to quit doing things. But the word also says, don't get tired. Don't be weary. Don't get tired of doing good. But we'll do good for a little while. And we'll get tired. I'm tired of doing this. We don't never get tired of doing the devil's stuff, but we get tired of doing the Lord's stuff. We could go out when we were in the world and stay all night long. But after we got saved, after we got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and then we thought we had enough. Huh? You went to church and stayed all night long. What's wrong with you? One or two hours is long enough. I got to go eat. God gave me conscience. Well, why would I sit for you in the world? I heard the word that present these bodies a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. But this is what you're supposed to do. Your reasonable service. Not asking you anything extraordinary. After all, God sacrificed for us. He sacrificed his son, and his son sacrificed his life. So that we can be forgiven. And here we are, don't even want to forgive somebody else. Peter said, to seven times? Ain't seven enough? That's one time a week. I mean, one day for every day in the week. But after that week is up, because we ain't going to forgive them more than one thing on the day, no way. So it must going to take us the whole week to get it done. After that week done, you off the book. My calendar is filled. And I ain't got no room for no more forgiveness. But Jesus said, Peter, seven ain't enough. In one day, if it sinned against you seven times 70, and come back to you that many times each time, and ask you forgive it. Now, how many of us don't want the Lord to forgive us on certain things? Where you did it when you start forgiving somebody else. How many of us take an account of ourselves and know for certain that 490 times ain't enough for us? If he cut us off at 490 times, we didn't even live long enough to get the right mind to be saved, because we done lost all our limits early in our lives. But he said, you got to stop limiting. How long and how many times you gonna forgive somebody? I say to you, don't wait for them to come ask. Forgive it anyhow. That's what Jesus did. He didn't wait for us to come and ask him to forgive us. But I heard him crying from the yonder's cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But we say, yes, they do. They ain't in charity. They ain't crazy. And so ain't you forgive them. But the way to forgive, you got to know what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Father, forgive them. They nailed me to the cross. They pierced me in the side. They put a thorn of briar on my head. And they whipped me with the lash. They pierced me in the side and my blood ran out. But they don't know what they're doing. They think they were getting rid of Jesus. But we're fulfilling the scripture. What's happening to you? The scriptures are being fulfilled. What's happening to you must happen to you in order for the word of God to work. He said, because he said, in this life you shall have trials. And if you don't have the trials and tribulation, the word is wrong. But in order for the word to be what it said it is, Israel, you got to have them. And it ain't Jesus' fault or God's fault why you having them. It's our fault. All the bad things that's happening to the world, people are blaming God for it. But it ain't God that did it, it's us. Because when God made the world, he made everything good and very good. No bad was in the land. not even weeds. Everything was good. And we opened up and invited evil in. And when we invited evil in, it keeps multiplying and keeps increasing over and all the time, doing bad things and God doing good things. I'm going to have to finish this up another time because some of you about to choke on it. And we don't want you choking. We want you to digest. But forgive so that you can be happy. Forgive so that you can be delivered. Forgive so you can be healed. Forgive that we can be on one accord. See, he said, it doesn't take the church full. Some people think if the church ain't full, the church ain't doing nothing. But Jesus said in that same chapter, Matthew 18, where there are two or three gathered together and on one accord I'll be in the midst. And the more people you have, the more devils you're going to have. You left a church because it had a devil in it, and you went to a bigger one and not realize you went for more devils than what you were running from. Because the devil gets in everyone from the pulpit to the back door. If the devil ain't in you, that means you ain't saved. You can't have a church without the devil being in it, not a true church. Jesus set that example for us. He said, did not I choose 12 of you to be my disciples? Yet, what are you? And Jesus had picked them, knowing what it was. Is the devil. And here we are trying to have everybody in the church holy. What's the church for? Then you can have double sinners in there. Jesus went where the sinners were. After all, that's who you need to be witnessing to. And on top of that, he not only put the devil in the church, he put him over the money. Excuse me. He was the treasurer of the first church. See, we got people. I know it sounds good and like it ought to be. You got to be holy to do everything. But that's not how Jesus had it. He let you know that when you organize the church, the devil going to be part of the organization. Because just because they told you they were holy don't mean they're holy. and you start putting limit, putting things on when people are saying that you got to be this and be that so they can do it, and they want it bad enough, they'll lie so they can get it. But he said, let the wheat and the tares. You got to have the saved and the sinners together. And don't you start separating them. And that's what a lot of the churches does. They separate them. But they, when you do it, you pull the wheat as well. But at the end time, I take care of it. I send my angels, and they'll gather the wheat first. And that's what he's going to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take the limits off based on your attitude. And it said, whosoever will, let him come. Everything that has breath, let him praise the Lord. See, we used to have a limit on that, and some of us still have it in our mind. If somebody they know is not saved, will get up and dance in a service, they'll go out and talk about they're dancing all over the church and no one ain't got nothing. But the word didn't say you got to have anything. The only requirement is to be alive. If you can take a breath, it should be a breath of praise. And we limit you because you were out drinking last night. It doesn't matter, you're drinking in the door when you got what, at the church. Let the Holy Ghost clean them up. And not us clean them. Because the very best we can do with them quitting is filter rags. Come back next time so we can continue. Say, neighbor. To be continued. Gospel invitation is extended to whoso will, let us come. You got to be forgiven of your sin. Doesn't matter how good you've been or how good you are. Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. If you're not born again of the water and the Spirit, then you're not prepared for heaven. You're still prepared for that other place called hell. He also said, the day you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. But that day is your acceptable time to be delivered from your sin and established as one of God's children, prepared for the kingdom. If you what to go to heaven and know that you're not right. They come now boldly before the throne. Confess your sin. Believe that Jesus is Lord and He died for your sin. Rose on the third day. You can believe that in your heart. You shall be saved. Because if you come, I won't cast you out. He doesn't care what you've done or what you've been, how you've been. As long as you have not blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, you can be saved. If you are without church and need the church, now's your time to come. If you have other conditions that you need to talk to the Lord about, now's your time to come. The doors to faith is open.
Good to me, Lord, I don't know.
How you doing?
What I would do, but if I had wings like a morning dove, y'all know what I'd do. Yes, I will, Lord, be at hand. Lord, you brought me from a mighty long way. Not just one day, Jesus, but every day. And if I had like a morning dove, y'all know what I do, fly away. Yes, I will, Lord, be at rest. Yes, Lord, be at rest. Can I say that? Lord, you brought me from a mighty long way. Jesus. Not just one name, Jesus, but every day. And if I had wings, ooh, like a morning dove, y'all know what I'd do, fly away. Oh, I will, Lord, be at rest. Yes, Lord, be at rest. One of these old days, be at rest. My soul gonna take wing, be at rest. I'm gonna fly away to see Jesus. Be at rest. One of these days you're going to look for me. Be at rest. And I'll be gone on home. Yes, I will.
Be at rest.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Be at rest.
I want to be with you, Lord, to be.
Be at rest.
Oh, thank you, Lord. be at rest. I want to look at you, Lord, and say, Lord, I thank you.
Be at rest.
Lord, I thank you for saving me.
Be at rest.
I want to look at the nails gone hand.
Be at rest.
I want to put my hand over that hole in his feet.
Be at rest.
I want to tell God, Lord, I thank you.
Be at rest.
For dying for little old me. Lord, have mercy.
Be at rest.
One of these days, y'all.
Be at rest.
Oh, yes, I will.
Be at rest.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Be at rest.
Lord, I want to go with you, Lord, when you call my name. I want to be at peace, Lord.
Be at rest.
I want to walk those streets of gold one day.
Be at rest.
You told me, Lord, that I got a mansion waiting on you.
Be at rest.
Oh, yes, Lord, thank you, Lord.
Be at rest.
Be at rest, be at rest.
Be at rest.
Ooh,
be at rest. Be at rest.
Oh, Lord.
Be at rest.
Mm-hmm.